This is D, and this is Swinging Down Under. Well, I thought since C was overseas for a little while, and she did a bit of a master prior to leaving, I thought I'd have a shot at one as well. I'm not sure that mine will be quite as interesting as C's, as she has a much lovelier voice than I believe I do. But, you know, I'll try and keep it real here, people, and keep things interesting for the D Master Podding experience. There's a few things I want to talk about tonight. The first one's probably swinger etiquette, or more importantly, swinger dating etiquette. You know, how to deal with the scenario where there's two couples out on a date and somebody needs to figure out who's going to pay. Now, as a guy, one of these things, for guys, it's generally fairly simple because normally it's up to the guy who pays. But let's have a look at that tonight. Also, what to eat and drink prior to playing. Just some etiquette, I suppose, around sexting, cock shots, you know, and how to deal with the group text, or in most cases a group kick, and why you should have a kick account. So why you should have a kick account, let's start with that. Kick gives you the great ability to be able to not give away any sort of trackable information. Now, if you listen to a couple of our other podcasting friends, you'll hear that just recently they've two of them have actually been tracked through their mobile phone number. Now, initially, C and I used to give out our mobile phone numbers, and learned very quickly that this is possibly not the best option in terms of, you know, keeping things to ourselves to start with. You know, once you get to know people a little better and have spent some time with them, whether it be pants on or off, it allows you to truly understand whether those people are somebody that you want to give your phone number to. You won't give your phone number to just anybody you meet in the street, and you know, I don't think it's any different with swinging, including, now let's just kick on into dating etiquette. We've had many dates now since we've been in the lifestyle, and a vast majority of those have been people that we enjoyed catching up with and have either played with or will enjoy catching up with again and possibly playing with, you know. But that said, there is the first time round always some nervousness, certainly from me, certainly also I can speak for C in the fact that she experienced that. And we do every time. I mean, frankly, if there wasn't nervousness, then there's no excitement. And excitement is really the name of the game in making this whole lifestyle interesting for everyone involved. So when you turn up to your first catch up with another swinging couple, as the male of the group, or not the group, but the male of the couple, you tend to really start to notice the fact that the simplicity of the single male, single female date is no longer relevant. There's crossover talk between males and the male and female. There's conversations around things that you're probably not used to dealing with, you know, kids, family, that sort of thing, when you're dating male and female one-on-one. And additionally, you know, who's going to buy the drinks, who's going to pay for dinner if you're having it, becomes a new thought in your head that you've never really had to cover out before, because typically the men do it, unless, of course, you've got a modern new age woman who decides she's like to split the bill with you. But again, typically the male's expected, and you know, certainly to my mind, I also feel that I should do that. It's a gentlemanly thing to do. So how do the gentlemen fight over the bill at the end of the night? Well, generally, to my experience, there is a little bit of a tussle. Normally there's credit cards flying and maybe some $50 notes or whatever to try and settle the bill male to male under the noses, and almost, I suppose, take some kudos, because, you know, males are inherently competitive, and this does come out in this part of the evening. That said, it's normally settled fairly quickly because, as I said, you tend to speak about a lot of things you wouldn't normally cover off, and because of that, you're a little bit more relaxed with each other. So the males tend to step back, and most of the time we find ourselves just simply splitting the bill, 50-50 down the middle. Whether there's a little more spent on one side or not, you know, this is probably a lifestyle of swings and roundabouts, pardon the pun. And with that in mind, we all need to, you know, get along, especially this time around, because normally for CNI, the first time we meet is not the first time we play. We normally meet it at least once, possibly twice, before we actually get involved with another couple. And, yeah, this gives you a bit of insight into who they are, what they are, and how they're going to act and react around you. And we've normally found most of the couples we've dated have been quite relaxed and quite open to just splitting the bill, which works for us. You know, we have had one couple who, at the end of the night, divvied up the tally of the bill and, you know, frighteningly got to the point of almost saying, you know, I had one cracker, you had two crackers, C had five crackers, my wife had one cracker as well, so we need to divide that up, you know, in a different way. So can I say it's very important that everyone's just a little bit more relaxed around this, you know, again, swings and roundabouts, nice and, you know, we're there to share the experience, and I think therefore it's probably simple enough for us to be there to share the bill as well. So for the newbies out there, look, try and keep it as relaxed as possible in terms of who's paying. All else fails, you know, ask the question. The elephant in the room won't ever go away without somebody actually putting it out there. So typically, you know, if everything goes well first time round, there's normally a chance for some group texting. In our case, we kick it off. Sorry, unfortunate pun there. In our case, we always use kick now to allow us to keep that somewhat anonymity. I did manage to choose a disgustingly big word there, one that's also very difficult to pronounce. But we do use kick, and we find it quite good for a number of reasons. The first one is, as I've already mentioned, it allows you to wear somewhat of a mask. But the second one is, it allows for group texts to any size. Now, certainly in our case, we've only ever used it up to four, but have found it really good because once you get four people on a text scenario, generally the conversation flows quite quickly. You know, at work does tend to slow you down a bit, of course, but you still have the ability to do this while you're at work, and you know, the natural progression seems to be into some sexy conversation, some verbal foreplay, and then possibly, if things progress, either some interesting images or the next step, which is another catch-up and then hopefully some play. Now, that said, there is a really interesting question to be asked here, and it's something that I'm not sure we've gotten right, even in the times we've been involved in sexting, and that is when to broach the photo. Now, boys, C mentioned the cock shot. Generally not the most welcome of all the images. Now, cocks are very difficult to photo and make look pretty. Even the prettiest of penises is very difficult to photo and make look nice. Now, we've had some cock shots sent to us in the past that we had some concerns about, and meet the individual, meet the cock live, and it's a totally different beast. So my tip to everyone out there, every male out there anyway, is that the cock shot is probably something best left until somebody asks for it. Now, I saw a little post on Twitter tonight, which I think was from the Swinging MILF, who has a fantastic podcast, and I'm not sure how she manages to do this every fortnight or month by herself. You know, I'm currently 10 minutes in and really struggling to think about what the next thing is I'm going to discuss. But the Swinging MILF posted something up on Twitter, which gives a really spectacular understanding of what you should and shouldn't do when it comes to the cock shot. So I honestly believe that, look, if you got guys, if you don't know, Twitter's a place to get on there. Follow the Swinging MILF. She not only is fantastic for advice, but also a very sexy listen when it comes to a podcast. But there's generally a substantial amount of images sent prior to the next catch-up, or certainly has been in our sexting, and some of them are really quite spectacular. And a heads up, again, be careful opening these at work, because I may or may not have been caught by a manager with an image that possibly wasn't as appropriate on a work phone as it should have been. Now, thankfully, the lovely lady who sent C and I this image looked fairly similar to C, so I managed to palm it off as a bit of a sexy interaction between myself and my partner, and that was enough for my manager to leave it alone and not ask the question again. However, he did make the statement that he'll probably never ever swipe left or right when it comes to me showing him a picture of something at work. So the real question, though, is when are these shots appropriate? When do they become appropriate? And it's a tough one to answer, because it's different, I think, for every couple. And you've got to pick it when you meet the couple. Now, that's fine if you have met the couple, but in a lot of instances, you haven't. So you're really trying to figure out, when is it that I can slip in, you know, a photo or something a little bit risque into the sexting to step things up a notch. I'm not sure that I can give anyone the answer on that. What I've found is typically you know when you know. The people that you're talking with will generally give, well, subtle or less than subtle clues that something they're interested in. And frankly, you know, you need to have probably a good reason my boss has never swiped left or right, a good stash of interesting shots on your phone or, you know, on your device that you can then pass on to these guys, or, you know, to the other couple. It makes life somewhat interesting, of course, you know, hiding that screen when people are wandering past you. It's really quite interesting to see what people are willing to pass around of themselves once they get to know you a little better. And frankly, horny as hell, you know. It's really gorgeous, some of the things that we've seen come through to our kick account. And you know, C and I both have our own separate kick accounts, and it's great to be able to use that as a bit of a sounding board for the next couple that we might end up spending some quality time with. So another thing that C touched on, and I think it's important that I look at this as well, and from a man's perspective, is the single guy. Now, I think for anyone who has listened into our podcast from the beginning, the call for the single guy really came from me. I find it very interesting to watch C have sex with another man, and look, I think she's growing to love it as well. Well, growing, I think she loves it desperately, but she won't tell, you know, won't tell us that on podcast, or me that, you know, it's like her little secret. But single guys out there, it's very tough to find one that meets C standard. However, in our case, and I think a lot of cases of the people that we talk to who are interested in the MMF, it's important to actually appeal to the male in the relationship as well, because frankly, the last thing I want to do is put C in a situation of any sort of uncertainty or lack of safety. So, and a lot of men, that's kind of our part in this whole swinging thing, is to make sure that our couple or our other halves, whether they be mine or other couples, feel safe. because as soon as the safe is gone, so is the sex, and the sexy. So we need to be involved in this because we need the male, single male, to appeal to us as well. Now, I'm not saying necessarily sexually appeal, you know, certainly helps if they're attractive, and I think most men in the lifestyle can look at another man, whether they're straight, well, anywhere on the ladder between straight and homosexual, they can look at another man and say, well, I think he looks nice, and I think he looks like something that my partner might be interested in. For us, certainly, I did the vetting on anyone who came into our relationship, and I continue to be that vet. It's important to me that the male is not somebody who's going to make C feel unsafe, but also not somebody who's going to take advantage of the opportunity and realistically just make an absolute dick of themselves. You know, single men out there, provided you're gentlemanly, polite, have at least two sentences that you can string together, and are relatively attractive. And, you know, by relatively attractive, I'm not saying that you have to be a rock-solid superstar, because, you know, for me, I'm certainly not that. But I can hold my own, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I'm lacking in the rippling six-pack department. And certainly just because you have that wouldn't rule you out for me. And because I'm the gatekeeper of you getting to my partner, my darling girl, you know, you've got to make sure that you actually fit the part that I need you to fit. Now, the part I need you to fit, and this is, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to want to hang me for this, but, you know, the best way I can put it is somebody who's somewhat like the James Bond character, you know, somebody who's got a little bit of humour to them, a lot of sexuality, I suppose, underlying, doesn't have to be overtly sexual, but can also still woo my girl, you know, and woo in doing so will make me feel comfortable with who they are and how they're going to interact with her both inside and outside of the bedroom. You know, the outside of the bedroom is the stuff that really paves the way to the bedroom. Now, we have had guys in the past, and I certainly have, again, because I'm the gatekeeper, who we've met with, and after the fact, they've contacted and said, hey, look, we really enjoyed your time and enjoyed the time with you guys, and I would really like to catch up with you again. Now, I actually, in a couple of instances, have said, no, look, I don't think I'm willing to get to have myself and C catch up with you again. And look, C was on the same path as well as what I was, so it made things a lot easier. But again, you know, due to the fact that we're not willing to lower our standards for each of us, and that wouldn't really matter anyway. If I was not interested in C being with any of the guys, then frankly that wouldn't happen. But this particular individual came back and stated to me, well, you know, after me giving some advice in terms of how to approach his next catch up with a couple, he turned around and said, look, I'm actually a very different person in the bedroom than I am out of it. Now, the reason that he didn't make it into the bedroom was because he was a little too meek for us. He wasn't somebody who could hold a conversation, somebody who could keep C and myself emotionally and intellectually stimulated by having him in the room. Now, I passed that on to him through, you know, goodwill, I suppose, to help with the next time round. I've been a single guy. I know what it's like. It can sometimes be very difficult to find, well, a single woman, let alone a couple that's going to play with you. So I passed that on to him, and his response was, well, you know, I'm a very different guy in room than I am in bedroom than I am out of it. Well, unfortunately, you will never get into a couple's bedroom if you don't have the right attitude and the right personality and seem interesting and appealing prior to getting into the bedroom. So it's something to keep in mind. I mean, I'm not saying go out there and practice, but shit, the ability to string some sentences together about yourself is certainly the way to go. And just because you've got a rippling six-pack doesn't guarantee you a spot in certainly our bedroom. So one of the other questions that I posed, I suppose, for myself just recently, and I haven't really covered this off with C2 well just yet, but, you know, the question about, are we now actually swingers? Now, a lot of people out there in podcast land have listened to our forays, and they're now, you know, we're seeing a lot of emails and stuff, which is fantastic, I might add. I really love getting emails, which has actually, you know, shot up quite a bit in the last month, I suppose. We're seeing a lot more emails. It's really nice to hear from people and hear what they want us to talk about. But one of the things that that I suppose came up is how to tell when you're a swinger. Now, this is a really good question, and I'm not sure that even yet we still define ourselves as swingers. And frankly, we're 12 months nearly into the lifestyle now. And look, we've enjoyed the whole way through. We've learned a lot about each other, but and also about other people. And we have had a whole lot of fun. But does that define us as now swingers? Well, I think probably at this point, we've gotten to the point where we've had enough involvement in this now that it really has become a bit of a lifestyle for us. You know, we've this month has been a slow month for us in terms of catching up with other couples. And, well, we have caught up with a few other couples, but we've not played with anyone for the entire month. Now, there was no reason behind that. It was purely just, well, you know, we haven't had the right month for it. We did really enjoy the company of a couple of people we've played with in the past, and that, I think, is why I now define us as swingers. It's not because we've played with other people. That's pretty easy. It's the fact that we're now actually involving these people in our everyday lives. We've got some, well, certainly for C and I, and I hope the other guys reciprocate, we've formed a couple of very strong relationships with other couples, and it's not just about the sex, which is fantastic. You know, we've actually gained more friends, and this is something C and I discussed just recently. We've gained more friends in the lifestyle since we've been in it than we have out of it as a dual income, no kids couple. It's been a real highlight for us in our growth of the circle of friends that we have. Then, you know, even now we still, every time we catch up with the guys that we've met, and the majority of them you've heard about, sometimes it's pants on, sometimes it's pants off. And I think the true definition of when you're a swinger is actually when you catch up with people that you've been involved with your pants on, because it's then clear that there's actually an emotional investment in these people, a friendship investment, rather than it just being dumb sex. You know, dumb sex is something we've all had when we were younger, you know, 18-year-old, dancing in a nightclub, taking people home. But there was no real investment in that. Now, the true swinger, or the true definition of swinging for me, is the fact that you are actually emotionally invested in the entire lifestyle. And certainly, I believe, well, I certainly am at this point, and I know that C is more than interested and really enjoys hanging out with these people, whether it be pants on or off. One more thing that I'd like to cover out, and this is in regards to, you know, incidences on both sides of our friendship group, us, and also on the other side, is there seems to be a lot of apologising out there for women getting their period. Now, I need that to stop. I think this is pretty simple. This is if a period arrives expectedly or unexpectedly, either direction, whether it's on my couple side, your couple side, or any couple side, I just think it goes without saying it's going to be a pants on event. And also, it's not something that requires an apology. I'm more than happy, if that's the case, that we just enjoy each other's company and leave it there. Now, this isn't aimed at anyone, for those of you out there who've been involved in or have used this. There's a reason for pants on chats recently. It's really more about the fact that I think it's something that needs not be apologised for. It happens. It does happen. The next thing that I'd like to cover off, I suppose, is the random texts and the hilarious things that we've had happen along the way in terms of miscommunications and things like that. There's one that springs to mind, a text message we covered off just recently, well, in our podcast, around, you know, I've got 2 hours before a game, before a football game here, how's about it, and C-cop this thing. And frankly, it ended any chance of that individual ever seeing the inside of her pants, and did the same thing for me as well. It's quite interesting, some of the things that actually do come across your plate. And you know, it sounds like single men is where it comes from, but that's not normally the case. It's actually, there's a whole lot of things that come from couples. We've had couples, and I might add C has been party to this also, has innocently sent a kick message to to another couple out of the two couples that she was kicking at the time. Now, given that it was entirely out of context for them, they were very curious as to why this came their way, and it was really quite a hilarious explanation as to why. Thankfully, the couple that we were kicking, or the two couples that we were kicking, knew each other, and you know, we got together and had a pretty good laugh about it after the time. But it's very interesting to see some of the things that come across from other people. Certainly some of the even some of the images, you know, that when you see them, you think, what was that all about? You know, an image of an open mouth, for example. Nothing entirely sexy about that. You know, let's just keep it cool, people. You know, let's just keep everything quite sexy. Keep the cock shots to yourself. And the other thing that I wanted to discuss is what to eat and drink when you're catching up with people. Now, I know we're a little out of sequence here, but it just came back to me. Let's just be careful of garlic here, people. Garlic and also tacos. Tacos will... there's a few things I think I've learned on the way through being a single male, you know, trying to dating single women, and that is there's certain foods that simply should never be eaten on the first date. One of those is tacos. Another one, spaghetti bolognese. I mean, I love myself a spaghetti bolognese, and I love myself a taco, but simply not the best way to go, especially if they're coated in garlic. But they're two things that end up generally all over you and all over the people you're eating with. Not the best way to go. But, you know, just keep it smart. Eat the things that don't smell. Eat the things that don't make your mouth taste funny, and I'm sure it'll make life a hell of a lot easier for you when you when and if you do make it back to the bedroom. But frankly, if you don't have the ability to steer clear of things like garlic, then possibly this whole lifestyle thing not your cup of tea. Because frankly, it's a requirement that you don't stink. Maybe after the event, you're allowed to smell after the event a little, but not mainly because you should have worked up a sweat, but not before the event. That's generally frowned upon in the lifestyle. Well, guys and girls out there, I think I've probably covered all I wanted to cover, and you know, it's a punchy one, this one, I suppose, half an hour. But if there's anything you'd like to talk to me about, you can get me now. I've also got a new email account. It's d@swingdownunder.com, and you can find us on Twitter @swingdownunder, at Facebook @swingdownunder. We're around on iTunes and Stitcher for the podcast, and look, we love to hear from you. If you want to send an email to the both of us, then we've got an email address. That's c&d@swingdownunder.com. And we've also just finalized our webpage, which is the three W's at swinging, three W's dot swingdownunder.com. Come in, check us out, enjoy the podcast, and some of the images and the tweets that you'll see coming from us. Until the next time, this is D and an absent C, and this is Swinging Down Under.